Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Before we get into this newest edition of the Fistful of Cash podcast, I want to remind you guys that this episode and all episodes are brought to you by Stay Classy Meats. Go to StayClassyMeats.com and use promo code FIST for 10% off your entire order. Without further ado, let's get into UFC 237.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, live from Coast of the Carolinas, by way of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, this is the moment sports betting fans around the world have been waiting for. It's time! Introducing the Fistful of Cash Podcast.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? You are tuned into the newest edition of the Fistful of Cash podcast. As always, I'm your host, Dale Lippin, in here with Soup, trying to get things done, trying to make some money, trying to have some fun. What's up, dude?
Nothing. Just tuning into this Columbus Bruins game. You'll see it tomorrow. Charlie McAvoy from the Bruins just got away with absolute murder and only took a 2-minute penalty. Shoulder right to the head. Took one of the Blue Jackets players out of the game, but got the call in his favor, so it's 1-0 going into the third period. And then we got the Warriors Rockets tonight, got Sharks Avalanche later tonight. So I got a packed night full of sports to watch.
Yeah, so we're doing things different this week. We're recording this on Monday. So I'm going to try to get this edited up and out tomorrow, but if not, it might come out Wednesday morning. So when you say tonight, the point of reference for those listening, it'll be Monday evening. I didn't tell you this. Part of the reason why I'm so freaking drained feeling, our air conditioner broke.
So yeah, you should get that fixed.
Yeah. Yeah. So we had somebody come out and look at it. Broke last night. Everything's real hot and sweaty in here today. Nothing like being in South Carolina in May with no air conditioning. And guy came out today, and the part necessary to fix what we got going on is not going to be here for another 5 days. Oof. So, oof indeed. Double oof. So I'm hot, I'm sweaty, I'm a little bit cranky, I'm not really not feeling as energized as I possibly could. But what are your thoughts going into the rest of these, just this Western Conference playoff situation here? You know, obviously you and I spoke a little bit today as far as Golden State and Houston is concerned. You know, what's this Western Conference picture starting to look like as it comes? Is it getting any more in focus, or are we getting things muddled up here?
I think it's going to end up being the 1 and 2 seed. I think it's going to be Golden State versus Denver. Watching this Denver-Portland series, I think I like the way Denver's playing more as a team than the way Portland's playing. I just think they have more weapons overall. Joker's playing out of his mind. Jamal Murray's finally shooting the ball well. And then on the other end, I fully expect Golden State to beat Houston. Steph's playing like poop in this series. It has a lot to do with the fact that he has to chase James Harden around. And he's been in foul trouble every game, actually. He's had at least 5 fouls in every game.
Right.
And that's a daunting task, chasing James Harden around and having to literally guard anywhere between 25 and 35 shots a game. So, not to mention, you know, the times that he takes it to the rim and gets the foul call. It's a lot of defense that Steph has to play.
Right.
But we're due for a Chef Curry night. I think it might be tonight, honestly. I'm hoping it's tonight. I would like to see them go up 3-1 and just take the wind out of the Rockets' sails.
Yeah, it'd be a big.
I'm not a James Harden fan. I used to be a Chris Paul fan, but he's a dirty little scumbag now. Not a Chris Paul fan at all.
So yeah, he's well, you already know how I feel about James Harden. I think he's single-handedly breaking the game of basketball by exploiting the systems the way that he does and playing the game the way that he does and crying the way that he does. I know that sounds like just straight haterade to the max. However, I just think that's what he's doing, man. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. But yeah, well, let's talk about a big win we did get that came through today. So, you know, we've got a big future win that we predicted. So you want to take a bow here or what, you know, how do you want to go ahead and celebrate this big victory you got today?
Oh, we're talking about the royal baby.
We are.
About being born in the AM and not the PM.
We are.
Let's go.
We are. We absolutely are.
Yeah, it's 50-50, but hey, I'll take it. It's like a coin toss. You know what I mean? That's what I tell people this all the time. People think like, you know, coin tosses are a pure degenerate bet.
Right.
It's the most 50-50 bet you're going to get in all of sports.
Right. It's a good bet.
There's no injuries don't alter anything. Referees have no effect. It is 100%. I mean, it's a coin toss.
Yeah.
It's 50-50. So, same with the AM, PM. But that's why I always bet the coin toss on national championships and Super Bowls. I take advantage of that, man. There's no, oh, sharps are on this. They're moving the line. You just, heads or tails, you know?
That's right. No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. Tails never fails.
Tails never fails. So, let's get into some tales that happened this weekend, in particular tales that got whooped. We'll start with the main event, man. Donald Cowboy Cerrone turning back time yet again and beating up the perennial people act – it's this Chris Weidman thing where they act like he's on the verge of contention all the time. But I think it just might be the UFC's relationship with the Sarah Longo gym. Old man Cerrone, dad bod Cowboy Cerrone, beat the brakes off of Ally Aquinta on Saturday night. Did you get to see that bloodbath?
I watched very little of it, and I was seeing about as many Donald Cerrones as Ally Aquinta was. So I was not in any condition to comprehend what was going on.
Okay. Well, with the exception of the first round and a couple looping right hands here and there, Cowboy was in control from bell to bell and just continued to beat the brakes off of Ally Aquinta and really just put him into a bloody stupor. I mean, really just wasn't as competitive as a fight as people would make it out to be. And a lot of people thinking that, it was going to be a coming out party, if you will, for Aquinta, even more so than the Khabib fight that he lost, you know. And there's one thing that I don't understand about fighters that come out of the Sarah Longo gym is that people treat them when they lose as if they won still, as if their stock is not diminished by losing. So, you know, Chris Weidman hasn't won a fight in years, and he continually acts like all he needs to do is win one more fight, and then he can fight for the belt. Ally Aquinta really hasn't beat much of anybody outside of Kevin Lee, and they act as if when he beats Cowboy, he's rematching Khabib. They're talking about giving him Conor, all these things. I just don't see the air quote here, where you earned it kind of deal. So, I don't know. If you're looking at scorecards, 49-45 on two judges and 49-46 all for Cowboy. If you're getting beat that bad by Cowboy at this stage in his career, come on, man. Come on, man. What are we doing here? Like, are we really hyping this dude that much?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but you say that. If you're getting beat by Cowboy that bad, that's like inadvertently talking shit on my boy Mike Perry, which I don't appreciate.
Why is that? What's Mike Perry got to do with anything?
Because he got beat by Cowboy bad. He got made. He looked like a fool against Cowboy. You say getting beat by Cowboy at this bad at this point in Cowboy's career. Cowboy's last four fights, he's done nothing but prove everybody.
But nobody's wrong. Hyping Mike Perry up to be a title contender. That's right. The thing.
Yeah.
If you,
okay.
If you're on you. The title, the short list for title contenders and talking about big money fights with Conor and rematching Khabib and all this other stuff, you can't go out there and get put, you know, have a clinic put on you by Cowboy, is what I'm getting at.
I got you.
Speaking of clinics, somebody that needs to go get tested, Elias Theodoro. Again, I know you were out partying it up, but dude, what a disappointing performance. Two, what an overall disappointing display of air quote here martial arts. You know, part of the reason what with the Theodoro play over Derek Brunson is Derek Brunson's horrible gas tank and Theodoro's really lackluster, boring style of like point style karate fighting. He's got, you know, a three strike or three sequence repertoire. I'm going to go ahead and break it down for you here. Ready? It is.
Yeah.
Strike number one is a standing hammer fist. Strike number two is a lazy sidekick. And then strike sequence number three is outside leg kick, miss spinning back fist. And he threw those three things in sequence for three rounds. It was deplorable. It was embarrassing. You know, advising people that listen to the show to take that pick and then watching him perform like that, I felt embarrassed, man. I legitimately, like, I looked at the wife and I was like, I feel embarrassed by this. The fact that I picked a guy that performs like this. It looked like, he looked like a guy that lied on his resume and got a job that he couldn't handle is what it looked like. It was horrible. Absolutely horrible. I don't have a nice thing to say about it. I don't think I'll ever bet on one of his fights again. It's kind of like a women's fight. It's really what it felt like. Shane Burgos, Cub Swanson. You were on the right side with that, with Burgos. It was very one of the strange situations, man. Split decision victory. One judge had it 30-27 Burgos. Another judge had it 30-27 Swanson. And then the tiebreaker, 29-28 Shane Burgos, which is what I had it. Very strange. As far as MMA judging goes, how two different guys can see a fight that differently. Very strange.
Yeah, I just, when I saw that, I didn't understand I wasn't watching the fight and I saw the results come up on my phone and I saw 30-27, 30-27, 29-28 split decision. And instantly, you know, looking at those, I assumed that it was 30-27, 30-27 Burgos, and then a 29-28 for Cub Swanson. And then when I looked into it the next day, I don't understand how two judges can score the fight complete opposites. I don't understand how one can give all three to Cub Swanson and the other one give all three to Burgos. Like I said, I didn't watch the fight, so I don't have the input on it, but I just... It's tough to watch a fight where all three rounds are an absolute toss up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was one of those things too, you know, and maybe this is the issue that we get into with MMA being more dynamic from a judging standpoint is than boxing, but it's there. We've got to have better clear cut criteria and there has to be a weight, you know, whether it's actually written out or not, as far as what things are worth. I'd almost be willing to go to a like Olympic and collegiate style wrestling points system where takedowns are worth so many points and control time is worth so many points and things like that. So that way there's no, you know, as if the referee were awarding these things, you know what I mean? Like let the referee award the takedown and then we have to wait that. Let the referee award control time or an escape or submission attempt. And then let the ref award it. And then the judges, you know, calculate or tabulate the scores, and then that's how the round scored something, or give the judges live access to CompuBox or something like that, because it is very strange. And when you have a fight like that where it is close, I mean, you're watching it going, okay, this is close, this is competitive. And it was very competitive. But Cub's not going, you know, taking to the streets saying that he got robbed. Which if a judge says you beat me 30-27 and I'm saying this judge thinks I beat you 30-27, I feel like we both have an argument there. But Cub knew in his heart that he didn't win that fight. At the very end, he told him good fight, and they're standing there just staring at each other. You know, it was not even a debate. If he'd have won that fight, he would have had that holy crap, what just happened look on his face. But it is what it is, man. It's really the last thing of note that happened on that card. Want to get into UFC 237. We got this upcoming weekend. Rose, in the most thug Rose thing possible, she's decided she wants to go to Rio and fight a Brazilian for her belt. Absolutely wild, man. The testicular fortitude that would take, but these are two women, so it's not that. Intestinal fortitude, I guess, would be the modified version of that. So Rose Namajunas taking on Jessica Andrade for the main event, but we got a pretty decent main card. At least three fights out of the five are good fights, in my opinion. Kicking things off, Diego Ferreira, 15-2, taking on Francisco Trinaldo at 23-6. Not a bad fight here. Do you got anything on either one of these guys?
I do not. This is all you.
Diego Ferreira is the one trending in the right direction here. Coming in at -165. Trinaldo's at a +135. Trinaldo's got good knockout power. Ferreira, I think, is a little bit more well-rounded. Got a better gas tank. Coming in -165. I think the odds makers have that one right. Dude's just looked good lately. I think he's on a 2 or 3 fight win streak. If I'm not mistaken, let me look real quick. He is on a 4-fight win streak. So let me shut my mouth with wins over Olivier Aubin-Mercier, Jared Gordon, Kyle Nelson, and then Rustam Khabilov. So he's doing all right, man. He's doing big things. And 165, I think it's a good play. One of your boys coming up next, the pit bull himself, man, Thiago Alves, taking on Laureano Strappoli. Thiago Alves sitting at 23-13. Feels like he's been fighting as long as you've been alive.
Pretty Staropoli's close.
At 8-1. What do you think here, man?
I don't think Thiago Alves is going to be able to pull out a win here. I mean, anybody who's watched him in the past 5 years knows he's not the pit bull of old. The Max Griffin win, I think that
Max, do you think that's USADA related? Just for real, do you think that that's a USADA relation to why he has not looked that good?
Yeah, I mean, his traps have, you know, they're 30% the size they used to be.
Right.
Like, 100%, he's not. Thiago Alves was on roids. Like, he had
he to appear, be, right? He is one of the, whether or not he was on roids, I do not know. Can only speculate. But what I can say is that of all the people that seem to be most affected by the introduction of USADA into the UFC, I don't know if any of them have been affected the way Thiago Alves has been physically outside of Vitor, but Vitor's no longer in the UFC. So,
yeah, I think he lost the Max Griffin fight. Yes. I think Max Griffin got robbed in a split decision. 100%. So that would have given him 5 out of his last 6 fights would have been a loss, with his sole win coming over Patrick Cote.
Oh boy. Yeah. Which people forget, Patrick Cote was beating Anderson Silva when his ACL beat him. Patrick Cote was winning that fight. I'll tell you right now, if Patrick Cote's ACL stayed intact, Patrick Cote would have beat Anderson Silva and been middleweight champion of the world. And I will die on that hill. He was beating Anderson Silva up prior to his ACL giving out on him. I'm not saying.
So here's Thiago Alves's wins since 2009. Gosh. John Howard.
Doomsday. Okay.
Poppy Abidi.
Okay.
Jordan Mean, Patrick Cote, and Max Griffin.
Yeah.
Like,
And even then, you make the argument, and I agree with you, Max Griffin won that fight. Max Griffin, kudos to him for being a good sport about it, but he got robbed. So, well, that this one's coming in at a pick'em, and I think that the pick needs to be Laureano's Steropoli. I think that's the play there, just because I don't see – I think Alves is done, man, and I think this would be a good send-off to him. He's already doing interviews like the what comes next after fighting, and at that point you've already got one foot out the door. He's going back to Brazil. He's fighting in Rio. What a good send-off it would be. You know, a passing of the torch, if you will, get beat by this young cat that's 8-1, get beat in Rio and ride off into the sunset, pursue your next career in coaching and law enforcement, everything else that he wants to do. I think Thiago Alves loses this fight. And, you know, realistically, judging by the way that he's been getting busted up in fights lately, he might even lose inside the distance here. But I like Steropoli here at minus, well, it's a pick'em. So I think that's the play, unless you really think Alves is going to turn back the clock here.
No, I don't see that happening.
All right. Well, speaking of Father Time, tell him to go F himself. We got Jose Aldo reinventing himself, man, coming back with two monster wins in a row, taking on Alexander Volkanovski, who looks like an absolute killer. Aldo sitting at 28-4, and Volkanovski sitting at 19-1. Looking at the lines here before you give me your play here, Aldo minus 145, Volkanovski at plus 115. I feel like you and I might land on opposite sides of the coin for this one, but what do you think?
This is tough because we talked about this, and like you said, Aldo against Father Time. I get that he's getting up there in age, but his three losses come to Connor, who slept them within, what, 8 seconds?
13.
13. Oh, sorry, 13 seconds. And then two losses to Max Holloway. So it's not like he's getting swept by, or, you know, scrubs or sweeping
the Holloway out. Fights, though, he got beat up bad. And I think that's the problem.
Right. But Holloway has beaten everybody up bad outside of Dustin Poirier.
And how long have they taken to come back from that? And have any of them actually recovered from it? That's the thing.
It's just tough because the way he looked against Jeremy Stevens and Moicano. Yeah. It's like, it was the Aldo striking of old. I mean, it was pinpoint. There was power behind it. I don't know. It's tough.
Who's ever going to say don't bet on Jose Aldo? I mean, talk about a coin toss style bet. Jose Aldo in a fight at this point, you know, nobody's mad. It's as close to 50-50 odds as you're going to get and taking him. My thing with this, though, is Volkanovski, undefeated in the UFC so far, not the greatest resume. Yusuke Kasuya, Masuda Hirota, Shane Young, Jeremy Kennedy, but then dominant wins over Darren Elkins and Chad Mendez, in which he beat up Chad Mendez, which another guy really affected by the USADA thing, but beat up Chad Mendez. And, you know, Volkanovski appears to be motivated. He appears to be fresh blood, new breath in the featherweight division that's sort of been sitting stagnant with Max Holloway just being so dominant over everybody. I would love to see Aldo win this fight from just a personal standpoint. You know, just me as a fight fan would absolutely love to see him do it. I'm just not sure that, you know, he can put, I don't know if he can do what he needs to do at his age to win this fight, because Volkanovski is going to come out there and go wrestle heavy and grind and put like a Khabib style pace and tempo and game plan together against this version of Aldo. And can this iteration of Jose Aldo beat that kind of person? I think if he beats Volkanovski, he sleeps him. He's got to knock him out. I don't think he's going to win a unanimous decision against them. So the question then becomes, what's more likely, Jose Aldo losing this fight or him knocking out Alexander Volkanovski?
And when you're talking age, you're talking fight age and mileage, because Aldo's only, I mean, he's only 2 years older than Volkanovski, but we're talking just overall high level competition fight age in the miles that he's put on his body and the, you know, the shots that he's taken as a whole.
Absolutely. I mean, look at it like this. So, if you look at his first fight in the UFC, you know, the inaugural featherweight belt, which you were there for, were you not?
Ooh, right. Mark,
so that was a 5-round fight. Oof. After that, 5 rounds against Kenny Florian, beat Chad Mendez, but then 5 rounds against Frankie Edgar, 5 rounds against Ricardo Lamas, 5 rounds against Chad Mendez again, then 5 rounds with Frankie Edgar. Like, you're talking about a guy that has hours of octagon fight time. Hours. And wars, too.
Yeah.
I just don't necessarily know if it's there still. And maybe it will be. I mean, I bet against him in the Moicano fight, and he proved me wrong. But here's the thing about the Moicano fight. He got Moicano hurt. Sure did. But some of the things that have gotten him in trouble in the past, he displayed in the brief seconds of this Moicano fight that was actually taking place. He was running at him wild, reckless, chin out, swinging, you know, like an absolute madman. Under no fear of being taken down. You can't do that with a wrestler the caliber of Volkanovski. You'll get taken down. So I personally like Volkanovski in this fight. I think he's a game underdog at +115. And I think you can make a little bit of money there. But I couldn't fault anybody for going with Aldo here. How could you not? Just given history. So my personal play, just me, not necessarily the show, but my personal play here is Volkanovski. But I wouldn't fault you for going with Aldo. Wouldn't fault you at all with going with Aldo. All right, co-main event, dude. Jared, the killer gorilla cannoneer, taking on, again, another dude, Father Time himself, Anderson Silva. Cannoneer -160 versus Anderson Silva +130. There's no point in going into the hype reel of the 34-9 Anderson Silva. It's a who's who of everything middleweight history. I think he's past the prime. I think he's punchy, and I think a guy as hungry and hits as hard as Jared Cannoneer is putting Anderson Silva to sleep, man. If he wins this fight, I would be shocked. Absolutely shocked.
Yeah, now I'm with you on this one. Because Anderson Silva is 44 years old. And the opposite of Aldo's last 3 losses being Holloway twice and Conor McGregor, Anderson Silva's, you've got to go far back to find his last win over an impressive opponent.
Right.
I mean, Derek Brunson, Stefan Bonner, Chael Sonnen, Yushin Okami, Titor at the end of his career. I guess Damian Maia, probably his last, because it was Damian, Forrest Griffin, Talis Ladies, Patrick Cote, Hendo, and then you're going back the whole way into the 15 times he beat Rich Franklin.
Since 2012, Anderson Silva has beaten Nick Diaz and Derek Brunson since 2012.
And that Diaz result got overturned, didn't it?
Diaz was high and Anderson was juiced to the gill. So, since 2012, Anderson has beat Derek Brunson. For those of you not really sure, we're in 2019. So, in 7 years, the middleweight king of the world for the longest time ever has beat Derek Brunson.
Now, to play devil's advocate, in his defense, he took the Weidman loss off broken leg.
Agreed.
He took the Weidman loss off being an absolute clown and putting his hands down and getting slept. He lost to Michael Bisping. He lost to DC. And he lost to Adesanya. So his losses are high-level opponents and 2 absolute slip-ups. But I think the fact that he's only beaten Derek Brunson in those 7 years outweighs the fact that he has impressive losses, air quotes. But I'm with you. I think we went against Cannoneer in his last fight, and he proved us wrong.
Well, that's the thing is, so we went against Cannoneer, and what happened was that Cannoneer showed up ripped. And it was the first time he had showed up that people were like, wait, what? because he fought at 185 and he fought David Branch. Prior to that, he showed up at 205 and fought Dominic Reyes and got knocked out. And then before that, he had lost a unanimous decision to Jan Blachowicz or however you say that guy, Blachowicz or whatever. So we were thinking of 205 Puffy Jared Cannonier. Well, now he looks right. like a homeless dude that's just been working out with like cement blocks under a bridge somewhere. He's terrifying. He's absolutely terrifying at 185 pounds. And he beat the brakes off of David Branch. So, you know, nobody was expecting that. And then he showed up and we're like, who's this really buff uncle from the barbecue? And he beat the hell out of David Branch. And I'll tell you that if Jared Cannonier shows up to Rio, he's beating up Anderson Silva and he's beating him up bad. And Anderson's going night, night in front of all of his countrymen. And that's what I'm counting on. -160, you know, realistically, he's part of what's inspired us to put this episode out early is because I want people to hop on that line before it moves more than it's already going to. Because I feel like as we get closer to fight week, open workouts, weigh-ins, you know, that kind of stuff. Once people get eyes on him, oh boy, that line's going to move a lot. Going to move a lot. I would not be shocked to see it at -200 come fight time.
Side note, could you imagine, you know, These guys are some of the best athletes in the world, but 205ers, they don't have the pace that guys at 185 and stuff like that. Could you imagine fighting Dom Reyes? The pace that he puts on people, God.
Well, that's the thing with Jon Jones. I will give Jon Jones infinite credit on a lot of his stamina issues are based on all the picograms he's got pumping through him. But if it wasn't for the steroids, you can make the argument. I mean, to have that, the one thing about John is he's right in front of you the entire time. He's constantly tapping you, putting hands out, throwing those teep kicks to the front. You know, he is just, he's relentless as far as pace goes. And then Dom Reyes, same thing, man, just a relentless pace to have a guy come like fight night, be 230 pounds, just constantly trying to punch you and kick you in the face. That's terrifying, man. Absolutely terrifying. Mm-hmm. I want no part of that. All right, main event of the evening. Jessica Andrade taking on Thug Rose Namajunas. And Rose, dude, actual underdog here, coming in even money against Jessica Andrade, who almost killed Karolina Kolaszewicz last time they fought, coming in -130. I like Jessica Andrade here, man, for that exact reason. I have recency bias. I saw poor little Karolina get her head knocked off of her shoulders like Bryce Harper at batting practice. And I am terrified for Thug Rose. I'm absolutely terrified.
Yeah, I think the odds makers got this one right. Looking at it, there's two main aspects to, you know, mixed martial arts. There's your stand-up, and then there's your ground game. Obviously, you've got the clinch and you've got Muay Thai and stuff. But as far as stand-up and ground game, I think Andrade is better at both. Than Rose. I definitely think she definitely hits harder. And I think her ground fighting is underrated. I really do. She's got 7 submissions.
Yeah, I mean, Rose is sneaky submission wise too. However, I think that top pressure and the wrestling base that comes with the Andrade style is what's going to make the difference in that regard. I agree with you 100%. I think that the ground should not be an overlooked aspect of this, where Rose has little slick, sneaky submissions. Andrade has a very grind you into dust and then pass your guard or do whatever and tap you out kind of style. Yeah, I'm terrified for Rose, man. I'm terrified for it. But, you know, I felt the same way when she fought Joanna. You know, I watched the Joanna fight, the very first one. And I looked at the wife and I said, it's the closest thing to a great white shark you're ever going to see inside the octagon. And then Rose slept her. I mean, it's not like Rose can't win this fight, but dude, I am terrified because of the pace Andrade can put on people, man. And she's fighting in Brazil. Rose has got to just infinite guts going after glory. Now, if she goes here, and not that this is like esteemed, rarefied air. But if she goes into Rio and beats Andrade after beating, you know, Joanna two times, Rose Namajunas, greatest women's strawweight of all time.
I mean, yeah, probably. Yeah.
Hey, man. In doing so, she would pass Joanna, is what I'm getting at.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Well, I like Andrade in this fight, man. I think that line is at a good price too, where you can still make a lot of money at -130. Be anxious to see how this one adjusts as we get closer to fight. What do you think? It's going to start favoring Rose, or are we going to see a bigger pull away from Andrade?
I think it's going to favor Rose for the sole fact that you're going to have your casual fight fans who are going to see that Rose beat Joanna twice, and that's what's going to move the line. I really think that's going to have a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
I think people are going to bet Rose, and I think Andrade will actually drop down. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, during walkouts, if this fight is a pick 'em.
Yeah. I mean, I will say this. Just mutual opponent wise, both of them fought Carolina, and Rose lost a split decision there, where Andrade, like I said, nearly decapitated her. And then Rose, prior to that, lost to Carla Esparza, who has got a very wrestle heavy approach. Prior to that, lost to Tisha Torres. What's Tisha Torres really good at? Wrestling. So I'm just saying, I think that there might be something with the Andrade thing. Yep. And I like your assessment of the ground game being the X factor here. Everybody's thinking stand up, but I think it might actually come down to what we see on the ground. That's a keen insight you got there.
But Andrade got slept by Uriah Faber's twin sister, Liz Carmouche. And,
oh man.
And she also got choked out by Raquel Pennington, captain of Bad Bud.
Yeah, she's definitely she's a first team alternate, one of the two. Yeah. Oof, boy. Yeah. You're right. I can't do, you know. And as far as mutual opponent goes, you know, Joanna beat Andrade 50-45 and 50-44 even on one card. So very one-sided title fight. So we'll see what happens, man. I'm anxious to see what's gonna happen with it, but I like Andrade in this fight, man. I think she's gonna pull it off. But you know, I won't discount Trevor Whitman and what he's been doing, man. Just look at what he's able to accomplish with Justin Gaethje. So she comes from a good team, man. She comes from a good team. She got Pat Barry behind her. You know, she's got a good system set up, and she's highly successful. It's hard to discount the champ. I'll say this: anytime you can get a champ at even money is also a good play. But Andrade, it's her second time at the big dance. It's essentially a hometown fight, and she's an absolute murderer. So I like her in this fight, man. Like it. That's it, dude. UFC 237, man. That's all I got. You got anything else?
Yeah, real quick. Milwaukee just went up 3-1 in the series against Boston. The Bruins are going to the Eastern Conference Finals. They just beat Columbus in Columbus, and they put out the rounds on the Anthony Joshua fight. The lowest I've ever seen an over-under for a boxing match.
Was it at three?
Six and a half.
Taking on Ruiz, short notice.
It's really, really low. And the under 6.5 is a -150. I mean, don't get me wrong. It, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Anthony Joshua gets him out of there in the third round, but to 6.5, it's really low. Right? Just the Deontay Wilder is 9.5. The over is a +220. And then Tyson Fury's fight coming up in June is 9.5 as well, with the over being even money and the under being a -130. Obviously, all three of those guys are monster favorites.
Right.
Deontay Wilder, the smallest favorite of the group at -800.
That's just because he gets no love because he lost that Fury fight.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel about that. He's just,
I mean, he
yeah, he I know did he lose did. It. I know he did. He absolutely did.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a... Yeah. That, whatever. But yeah, Anthony Joshua, Tyson Fury, Joshua respectively at a -3,000 and Tyson Fury at a -3,600. Still, they're still not favorites like Loma, but
yeah,
pretty big favorites.
Yeah, that six is interesting. You might get Joshua might get him out there sooner. Is that at Wembley? Did I ask you this already?
I mean, this has to be wrong. Well, what I'm seeing, it's saying it's at the Barclays Center.
It might be,
but
yeah,
really? I know Wilder's fighting there, obviously, but
it might very well be there.
How is Anthony Joshua not?
Well, they need. That's the thing, though, is they need to build him an audience over here too to sell for the inevitable Wilder clash. Yeah, let's see. Oh man, they got Alvarez and Golovkin out already for the third fight at a pick 'em. Yep,
a pick 'em.
Triple G. That's what I'm thinking too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. For sure.
All right, dude.
I think you can get robbed three times in a row.
No way. No. All right, that wraps it up, guys. I will. Except we're gonna try switching it up. We're gonna put it out earlier in the week. Give you guys more time to pound the books when the lines are more favorable to you. It's really what this is all about. Is just trying to get it out whenever the lines are at their peak. A lot of times we see lines like this, and then they move so much throughout the week that the value that was available at the beginning half of the week is not available come fight time. So we're gonna try this out for a little bit. We're gonna do these earlier in the week episodes and see whether or not it's more profitable. So if you guys like this, let us know. Shoot us a message. Shoot us an email. Follow us on Instagram. Shoot us an email, fistfulofcashpod@gmail.com, or follow us on Instagram, fistfulofcashpod. And just check us out there. Shoot us a thing. Let us know what you think about these earlier in the week episodes. I think we're probably, if we get enough response, going to start doing it like this. Just gives everybody more time to get to the book. But that's it, Soup. That's all I got, man. I'm out of here and I'll talk to you guys come fight night.
Yeah, guys. Real quick, serious note, thoughts and prayers to those who bet Maximum Security.
An all-time bad beat.
As always. Yes, seriously. Nothing like a wild animal causing you a bunch of money. But as always, guys, clear eyes, full fist, can't lose.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.